Welcome to Insights for Manufacturing, the podcast that supports the UK manufacturing sector. Hosted by Jeff Beecham, the Manufacturer's Recruiter. Hello and welcome to Insights for Manufacturing. I'm delighted today to welcome my special guest, Solomon McKiernan, who is an electronic engineering degree apprentice at Leonardo. Welcome to the show, Solomon. Pleased to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jeff. It's a surprise to be invited, but glad to be on here. Good to talk about apprenticeships.
You're very welcome. And as we were saying off air just a few moments ago, this is a bit of a first for Insights for Manufacturing in that, you know, you're the first sort of student or degree apprentice or apprentice of any description that's come on the show. We normally have sort of associations and senior leaders on, but I thought it would be a really good idea to get a bit of insight from somebody who's been through that apprenticeship and degree apprenticeship journey within UK manufacturing. So I'm really delighted to invite you on and looking forward to the discussion. Just before we get into the sort of questions, now I know you've been doing a lot of studying through the apprenticeship and the degree. We'll come on to that in just a second, but you've also had a day job to hold down with Leonardo, who, for anybody that doesn't know, Leonardo is a global security company realizing technology for a safer future. In the UK, they focus on electronics, helicopters, and cyber and security businesses, and they employ 8,500 people across 8 sites, with over 500 people on early careers training programs. So, wow, you're obviously in the right place in terms of an employer supporting you. So what motivated you in the first place to pursue a career in engineering and manufacturing?
Well, it's going to sound maybe a little bit silly, but when I was younger, and even now really to an extent, I always really liked superheroes, and one of my favorite was Iron Man.
Okay.
If you've seen any of those Iron Man movies, he's essentially like a super engineer. Seeing him actually go through and like design everything and build everything himself was probably like my first real taste of seeing like technology and what you can do with it. And then from then on, it was, DT lessons in school and everything like that. But I'd have to probably credit it to seeing those when I was younger, and enjoying those.
That is amazing. And yes, I have seen those films with Robert Downey Jr. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. But I suppose the fact that you were inspired by that whole concept of super engineering, just the fact that you've mentioned that, I'm sat here thinking there must be hundreds or thousands of other people in a similar situation that have seen a film like that and thought, oh, crikey, wouldn't it be amazing if, how can I get involved in that type of thing? So thanks for sharing that. That's an interesting concept, and I'm sure something that will be coming more to the fore, over the coming years with all of these sort of movies. So can you describe your experience as an apprentice? I know you've done the degree part of that as well, but from a sort of hands-on apprenticeship perspective, what have your experiences been like?
We'll start with like the kind of structure of how many days I'm going in to study and how many days at work. So like a normal week for me would be 4 days in at work, maybe like 7-8 hour days, and then one day at university, and that'll be a full, sometimes like 9 till 6 of pretty much back-to-back delivery. And then where I can fit around that, the coursework, I will. The work's quite lenient. Leonardo is with giving me some time here and there. So they'll give me like an afternoon off if I need an exam or those type of things. So they've been very supportive throughout the whole thing. But yeah, it's really, especially throughout the year, so I've been doing it for 4 years. So towards this like third and fourth year now that I've been doing it, the 4 days a week has just kind of melded into like a normal engineering role, it seems like. But when I was first onloaded, it's a lot of like shadowing, learning basic stuff, maybe doing tasks that aren't actually going to go towards a real product. And now I'm, working all the time on things that are, a customer wants or a development project. And I just finished up with the degree side of things actually as well. So now I'm in 5 days a week. I'd say probably like for my split of things, I spend about maybe half my time in the lab, maybe a little bit less now, and then half my time at a desk. And in the earlier years, we'd go through these different rotations. So like mechanical, some people do manufacturing, software, all these different departments. So you might end up spending like 100% of your time in manufacturing, say, building an antenna or whatever you're doing. And then another placement could have you entirely, coding and software. But yeah, now I've landed and ended up in, electronics and electronic hardware. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Fascinating. And how did you come to that decision to sort of embark on a sort of apprenticeship? You know, because some people will go into businesses and just start training, you know, on the job, whereas other people, you know, like to formalize their learning, whether that's an apprenticeship or other sort of qualifications. Was this something that was sort of suggested to you by the business, or had you how did you you know how did it all get started for you?
Yeah, it was actually one of my physics teachers in school suggested them, and then my DT teacher as well suggested them. So I know my DT teacher had done one himself. I believe it's actually with the RAF. So I did a lot of I really enjoyed those subjects. Actually getting to design and then make something. It was only a little thing on a laser cutter at the time, but it was cool to actually get something tangible, from your work. When so many other subjects are just writing something down and you never see anything, come from it. So that was really cool and something that drew me in. So once I'd heard about them, luckily my parents as well were quite supportive of it. So my mum works in education, and she was, able to tell me a bit and help me fill out some forms and go on the government website and show me whereabouts to go. I wouldn't say there was a massive push at my school in particular. In fact, to my knowledge, I was the only one in the year group who did an apprenticeship. So I did my GCSEs. Yeah. And then I left at 16. I know some people later down the line did apprenticeships, but yeah, to my knowledge, I was the only one who left after my GCSEs and went straight into industry. Worked somewhere for 2 years on a like a I think they're called an advanced level and apprenticeship, so level three. And then after that, when I was 18, I moved over to Leonardo and I started their 4 year program, which has now gone down to 3 years actually, in degree apprenticeships. And I was the first ever intake at Leonardo in England to go through this newish, relatively new degree apprenticeship scheme.
Well,
So
good
yeah,
for you, blazing a trail.
that I would really recommend. Like a lot of the people I speak to, young people, don't even know about. Especially degree apprenticeships because they're still new in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, it's good to get to see things like this, where you can actually have a voice and get to tell people about the good opportunity.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm not overly surprised that you were the only, you know, person in your group that you know did an apprenticeship. There's a lot of work to be done, isn't there? You know, in terms of that education piece for school kids, for parents. You know, I think manufacturing and engineering, as a lot of people have said quite recently, has still got a bit of a an outdated sort of stigma. Or you know, when you ask people, you know, what's manufacturing or engineering, unless they're in it themselves, you know, they generally say, well, oh, I was working in a dirty factory. Whereas, you know, a lot of factories these days are so high tech, it's, you know, just buzzing with automation and you know, software technologies just moving ahead at light speed. You know, it's really exciting. So getting some insights from you today, really, I mean, I love hearing about this sort of thing, but this was the whole idea of this podcast, was to, you know, to get some detail about what it's like from somebody who's been there and done it. So but well done for you. You know, you've jumped in at a, you know, an early age, straight out of school after your GCSEs and into industry, and look how far you've come already. Wow, what a great platform to propel yourself forward for even more.
I'll just add on to that comment about the dirty factories. Like a lot of our, in fact, it must be across the whole industry, but like a lot of our rooms are what we call like an ISO clean room. So, you know, they've got their particle count and humidity and temperature and everything. So when people have this image of like getting grimy and stuff, that's probably the cleanest room you're ever going to walk into, you know, compared to just walking around at home. So yeah.
And sort of temperature controlled and things like that in
Yeah.
parts. So
Yeah.
a million miles away from working in a foundry or something like that, which is
Yeah.
especially this time of year, it's not going to be great. Okay, so in terms of a hands-on experience then, so you've sort of done this apprenticeship, you've done the degree. How do you think the hands-on element of an apprenticeship has sort of supported the sort of academic challenges that you would have gone through to get your degree? Let's just add in there, it wasn't just a degree, was it? It was a first class honours
Yeah.
bachelor's degree in electronic and electrical engineering. So not the easiest of subjects anyway. It's quite a tough arena, so you've done really well. How's the hands-on experience sort of helped you with the academic side of things?
I would say it was probably like the number one thing I'd recommend anyone who's looking to get into electronics is to just do something practical in
Okay.
like a hobbyist nature. So
Yeah.
you can buy plenty of boards out there. You know, I'm not affiliated to any of them, but something like a Arduino or like a Raspberry Pi. You can buy these pieces of kit, and then actually just start testing things out, you know, getting maybe an LED to blink or something simple like that to
Yeah.
begin with. And actually seeing the theory tie up with something in reality, just it makes a world of difference. So even at those like, yeah, just a basic level of seeing like, say you do a calculation. Something like Ohm's law, let's say, something basic, and you want to see how, you know, changing the resistance is going to change the current of a circuit. Actually doing that yourself is just going to stick so much better in your head if you're swapping out resistors, and doing that manually. And then all the way up to, I'd say especially even more in like my final years. So there's a technique called like Fourier analysis, which is where you take a signal and you break it down into its different frequency components. And it seems like just a mathematical jumble of nonsense, really, on a piece of paper when you're working through it at uni. But then at the workplace, we would have these big signal analyzers, and you'd actually be able to get a probe and like touch it on a circuit, and then it would show you all these different frequency components, like graphically. And just seeing things like that, you know, all the way from Ohm's law up to that, having something you could test or something you could tweak in reality, just really makes it stick in. And actually understand what different things are going to change, and what's realistic. A lot of the time it's easy to get tied up in theory of, you know, let's say we have this, yeah, we can chuck in this value, this works in the formula, and then, you know, you've realized, oh, my circuit's going to be the size of a house, so that's not really going to work, is it? So yeah, I've said it's massively helped, massively. Yeah.
So it's sort of like, I mean, going back, crikey, over 40 years, I'm showing my age now. When I was at school, I remember doing physics, and I did do design and technology. I think it was called design and technology back then. We did some electronics, but I remember the physics side of things. I always used to, I don't know, I was less engaged just looking at the teacher put all these sort of formula up on the blackboard and stuff. It was interesting to a degree, but I think my mind sort of focused on it a little bit more when it came to actually doing something as well. And it's sort of, so what you've described, I would say that is giving the theory some context. It does help you understand it a bit, help me understand it a bit better. But also, does it not make it a bit more interesting? So you're not just staring at sort of,
Yeah.
you know, just figures and formulae. It's, you know, you're actually working through a problem of how to make something happen or what's the next part of the circuit. You're problem solving as you go, aren't you?
Yeah, and that's, I guess, even throughout, you know, things that aren't electronics, but any engineering and like role in like most manufacturing, I would say are problem solving. That's what it boils down to. So having something where you actually know the reason you're doing something, and you know, you can actually make, even if it's incremental changes along the way to get something a little bit better, you know, seeing something physically, yeah, makes a massive difference. I definitely 100% agree.
So how did you balance your day job then with you know, studying for your degree, you know, wanting to improve? I mean, you've had a lot on your plate, haven't you, the last sort of 4 years or so? Did you have any specific strategy to make sure you balance both the job and kept your mind on that whilst giving it your all with your studies as well?
Yeah, I would say it was definitely a work in progress throughout the years. I started off maybe not as well as I should in balancing my time. You know, you get absorbed in one task at work, or you get, you know, absorbed in trying to finish some coursework or revising for an exam, and other things start slipping. But definitely by the last year, I think I'd got a little bit of a better handle on it. So I know for my final year projects at university, I had like a big Gantt chart. So like just a scheduled timeline planned out. And then you have, you know, all your tasks and, you know, how much you're going to allow them to slip by. So it takes a lot more time at the outset, you know, planning out what you're going to do. And planning, all right, I've got these pieces of coursework due then. I've got these deadlines or milestones at work then. But, you know, then it helps you massively in the long run. So you might spend, you know, an extra week or whatever planning things out. And you think, oh no, I've lost a week. But then in reality, you know, you've gained all this time where you haven't finished this thing, or you've stayed up till midnight trying to finish something else. So yeah, I would say just planning at the, I know it sounds so obvious, but yeah, planning at the outset just really saved me. And it's something that I've really lacked a little bit in my first year. Yeah.
Fantastic. And you mentioned earlier that your employer Leonardo, but you know, have been a great support to you. I guess you know you do need a bit of flexibility, you know, from your employer, don't you? It's the business needs will change on a day-to-day basis, and sometimes your studies you might need a little bit of extra support now and again. So the best planning in the world, you know, something will crop up now and again where you've got to find a happy medium. But when you, you know, when you're being paid to do a day job as well, you know, you've got to make sure that you're, you know, respecting that and making sure that, as you say, nothing slips too much. But so Leonardo were really proactive and gave you everything that you need in terms of support and help.
I'd say they were even maybe more responsive than like an employer would usually be, just because it was the first time they were sending someone through a degree apprenticeship. So they were constantly saying, all right, like, how's the structure going at uni? What's your workload like there? Just so for the later years, you know, they've run it every year now since. So yeah, I'm a fourth year and they've got first years in, they've got second years in, third years in. But for each
Brilliant.
of those, the scheme's gone a little bit smoother from the get-go. Whereas it was just a bit more of a learning curve. But yeah, they were really responsive with like reaching out to me and, you know, me saying, oh, this is maybe not working so well. Or even things like, you know, certain placements at work might be a little bit harder than others, or certain modules at university, you know, there might be a monster piece of coursework in it that, you know, people struggle with every year. So you think, all right, let's not align those two, or maybe let's put this one nearer to, I don't know, a season where you haven't got exams, or, you know, there's less milestones at work and those type of things.
It sounds like they've got a, you know, a blueprint now. Just as you've been through this, I dare say if you know, go on to do a master's or something in the future, having been through this process, you'll know some of the pitfalls and you know, be mindful of that, and hopefully you'll be in an even better place the next time you know, you do that. I mean, have you got any plans to, you know, to go further with a master's or anything like that in the future?
Yeah, I have actually.
Good.
I was doing it through, I want to still like stay on with Leonardo, just because they've been so supportive, and I feel like I'd learned just as much, if not arguably more, you know, on the job. So I didn't want to lose that. And obviously, you know, to be frank, it's nice to get paid as well. So
Absolutely.
I'm gonna be doing that. Maybe move down to like part time at my current role is the plan, and then pick up a master's as well and do that from September onwards. So yeah.
Super. So you've now got the combined experience of apprenticeship and sort of degree, you know, the academic study side of things, the hands-on, the practical, the theory. Having been through this process then to this point, how has that sort of potentially shaped your future career plans? Because when you sort of joined Leonardo, you may have had a vision of maybe what you might have wanted to do. You know, 4 years down the line, you're doing totally different stuff to what you were doing in your first 6 months. Now you've been through all of this, has that changed your thoughts about the future or what the possibilities might be?
Yeah, definitely. There were certainly points, well, when I left school, even at 16, where I thought, maybe I wouldn't do a full degree, or I'll just do something like a HNC or something. And then, as I was doing this degree, I thought, okay, like it'd be nice when this is done. But now, I'm going to be starting a master's. So I'd say further education is something that has definitely changed kind of my perspective on it and my drive for it, just because I've been able to do it in tandem with work and see where things are actually relevant. Whereas up until I'd left school, it had only ever been, oh, maybe you could use it here, or supposedly this is where it's relevant. So that's definitely my attitude towards that's changed. And I would say, yeah, maybe quite a positive change. I had a misconception almost that you had to, you get to be an engineer for a certain amount of time or in a technical role, whatever it is, and then you have to become a manager, and then you have to do all these things. But at least at Leonardo, there seems to be like a alternative route to carry up on the technical progression, so you still get, to have some bits of hands-on, or at least managing more technical things. So I think that's something that's changed as well. Just yeah, the positive outlook on seeing you can still do some progress through the role, but still be things like a senior engineer, principal engineer, lead a team of engineers, as opposed to just, being pure project management, which is something, that appeals to me a bit more, being able to stay with the technology.
Well, that's good to hear. And, it's always good to have those sort of career path options. I think you're right. When people go into manufacturing and engineering and then get some good studies behind them, they get the sort of HNC, HND degrees, whatever route they take to get to that level. I think there's that, or there can be that natural assumption that the next step is management and leadership and going up the hierarchy that way, whether that's through operations or engineering or project management or sales, whatever it might be. But the fact of the matter is, not everybody makes a good leader, and so many companies, I see it all the time. I'm an executive recruiter. This is my sort of backyard, leadership and people progressing through businesses. And I love what you say about the fact that you can still progress, and you can still progress into senior positions through that technical route. And at the end of the day, particularly in the UK, we need a strong backbone of technical competence, all throughout our manufacturing and engineering businesses. You can have some of the best leaders in the country, in the world, and we do need good leaders, and I'm really passionate about that. But you also need really, really strongly technically gifted people that are going to be running those functions. And sometimes you can lose really, really good technical people to management. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I think you need a balance. If everybody was just chasing the management and the senior leadership route, and those positions are few and far between anyway, we absolutely need people that are at the top of their game on the technical side. I think it's a bit of a misconception that, the people that study the hardest and progress well should, as a default, go down that sort of manager or senior leadership career path, really. Depends on the individual, I suppose, and what your preferences are. But it's nice to hear that you've got a passion for that technical side, and again, the world's your oyster, really.
I mean, there's nothing to stop people as well. I've never viewed them as mutually exclusive things. Like, if you want to do something technical, you can still keep on that, and maybe you just have like a smaller team of, engineers working on a complex problem, and then have, someone equally as valuable but working on the, maybe the project management and the time scales and those type of things. So it's just, I see a lot of people go down that route, and then, I won't name names, but and then they seem to almost like lose a lot of their drive, or why they started in that career in the first place. And that's because they were interested in, the technology, whatever that may be, at their company, and not interested in, Gantt charts or whatever they're doing in day to day then.
So what do you think your degree apprenticeship has given you, in addition to the sort of technical, the knowledge and the experience that you've gained, which is totally valuable. But what else do you think you've gained from it outside of the technical skills? Because you've clearly grown as a person. You've grown. It's a journey, isn't it? Right. You know, this 4 year journey. I guess when you look back, you probably feel a totally different person to the one 4 years ago. So what else do you think it's given you going through this process?
Well, that is a good point. I think a lot of the, I feel like every time, no matter what age you join a company. So I saw people, you know, I've seen people come in now at 16 years old to working in industry. I see people coming in at 18 years old. I see people after their degrees coming in at like 21, 22.
Yeah.
And that's their first time ever having, you know, their proper full, I guess you'd say, like career-based job.
Yeah.
And they always seem to have to go through like 1 or 2 years of adjusting from school or from whatever they were doing prior into what it's actually like, just in general, just to have a job, and work in industry and work for a customer. So I'd say I've kind of, one of the things is you get to get that done and ticked off before you even move into an engineer role, which is nice. And yeah, I'll just say it's a big thing is just the experience of being in a workplace, because it is a big different dynamic to being in school. That's probably the major thing that sticks out to me, and maybe having the experience, you know, once you've already come into a full-time role, someone's hired you for to do something specific and they want you to do that. If you go through an apprenticeship, you have that unique bit of time beforehand where they can be more flexible. They can say, all right, yeah, try this out for, you know, 3, 6 months, see how you like it. Or, oh, someone needs, you know, a spare apprentice at the moment in this project. Does that sound cool? Do you want to have a go at that? Whereas I feel like maybe you wouldn't be able to get into those opportunities as much if someone's just hired you as, you know, ex engineer, you know, we need you to do this. We've got this job at the moment. So there's a massive bit of trying things out, and seeing what fits you. And that's quite hard coming out of school, you know, deciding what you want to do for the rest of your life. So if you go on a more generic engineering program, and then you get to go around mechanical, you get to see software and all the other types, electronics, then you just get to actually have a better understanding of what it's really like doing that role. And yeah, it's just lucky to have that opportunity, as opposed to then picking one for your degree and thinking, all right, I've got to stick with this now for the rest of my life. But yeah.
Nice to have those options. Okay. So having been through this exciting journey then, what advice would you give, Solomon, to any individuals, any youngsters considering an apprenticeship or a degree apprenticeship or any sort of formal, you know, further education before, you know, pursuing, you know, so if they're at school, you know, what thought process should they be going through? And if they're considering an apprenticeship or somebody's moving from an apprenticeship and going to do a degree, have you got any advice for any of these types of people based on your experiences?
Yeah, I would actually say that an apprenticeship isn't maybe best suited for everyone. And I think it's really well suited to other people, in my opinion, at least.
Yep.
So I definitely say it's good to get like the word out about apprenticeships and explain what they are. If you're someone who really enjoys doing practical things at school, so like your DT lessons, and actually working on things physically, you know, it might be a good idea to do a degree apprenticeship, because then you get all that practical experience.
Yeah.
I would also say, maybe if you're a particularly hard worker and you want to challenge yourself, it's a really good option. You know, doing a degree at the same time as working isn't an easy route. It's a really valuable route, and you come out, you know, you come out of the scheme. So the new scheme's 3 years long. So say you're a graduate, you come out, you've done 3 years of study at university with 0 years experience. You come out of the exact same position with no debt, 3 years of salary on top of that, and 3 years of experience on top of that. So it's just a completely different situation. But then you've put in all that extra effort to do that and get there. So if you want that head start and you're prepared to put in some extra effort, and probably the most important thing, you're actually passionate about it, and you have an idea, you know, I want to do something in engineering, I want to do something in manufacturing, or whatever the field is, you know.
Yeah.
Friendships and all types of things. There was a data scientist I was speaking to the other week. You know, I've seen all types of apprenticeships pop up. So yeah, I'd say if you're really passionate or you have a general idea of what you want to do and you want to get started, you want to start your career now and you're passionate about it, just give apprenticeships a go, definitely.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for that advice. And I liked what you said then. Maybe there's a strap line in there somewhere. There were 3 points you made. No debt. You're getting paid pretty well, whilst you're learning and you're gaining valuable qualifications, and then you've got all that experience as well. Wow, what's not to like about that? So, if we can get this podcast out to more parents, people with kids that are considering their career options, or even people that have just started out in manufacturing or engineering, maybe on the shop floor, and it's not part of a formal, apprenticeship or anything else. There are opportunities there for everybody. And, why go racking up all that debt to get a degree when you can do the earn while you learn route and get the qualification as well? It sounds like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people actually that I know who did the kind of technician or manufacturing workshop based, and then their employers have put them on it as an upskilling thing. So at
Yeah.
the end of it, they've come out as an engineer. They've been working at companies for years. A lot of them I'd see at uni, and yeah, that was quite cool to see all these different points of entry. Some people come straight from A levels. I'd come
Yes.
from a previous apprenticeship, but. Yeah, I'd say if it's something you're keen about and you want to learn more, there's never a point that's really too early or too late to jump on an apprenticeship for sure.
Yeah, upskilling. There's a lot of that to be done in the UK. Okay, so finally, how do you think students can make the most out of their apprenticeship experience to prepare themselves better for a degree program? Because you did this sort of shorter apprenticeship type thing before, didn't you? So how do you think they can make the most out of that apprenticeship experience if they're going to then, get ready for a degree?
For sure. A big one that's kind of the precursor to a lot of these courses is getting your maths and English done.
Yes.
I know, some people aren't always going to be keen, especially, well, some technical people might not like English as much, or maybe not even maths as much.
Yeah.
But getting those done and ticked off out the way while you're doing your level three or your first apprenticeship is just really key, because you don't want to have to be thinking about doing those type of qualifications on top of your degree and then on top of your work. So
Yeah.
that's a big thing, first of all. Secondly, I would say get involved in any type of extracurricular activities. First of all, you get to network with people, and you hear about, so I actually heard about Leonardo, my current company, through my first employer,
Okay.
and through talking to people. So you get to see other companies out there and what other people are doing. But also there'll be, for example, there's like a college run club for microcontrollers. So an extra bit of work you could do, like once a week in the evening, and those type of things are really good, just as to keep your brain ticking on these type of problems,
Yeah.
and just explore something a little bit outside of the basic course. And it gives you that little bit of edge as well if you're looking to then progress on to a full-time degree or a degree apprenticeship. Just showing you've done that little bit extra. And you always learn, I feel like, the most when you've got less kind of structure to it.
Yes.
Because there's so many more ways to go wrong.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for sharing all these insights with me this afternoon. It's been a really fascinating discussion. Congratulations again, Solomon, on your first with honors. You're on a great career path. You're with a decent business as well. I mean, what a great position to be in. But thank you very much for sharing your time with me this afternoon and helping get the message out there for more people to get into UK manufacturing and engineering and make the most of different schemes available for apprenticeships, degrees, any sort of learning. Invest in yourself, and yeah, the rest is easy, so they say. But thank you very much for joining me today. So that wraps up today's episode. Hope you've enjoyed our discussion, Solomon.
Thank you for having me on. Yeah, thanks.
You're very welcome. And thanks to the viewers and the listeners for dialing in. We'll see you next time on the next episode of Insights for Manufacturing. See you next time, and bye-bye.